We are in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter on the last page in Scripture and the Pew Bible that is page 1005. Before we read from there, God's providence to read the end correctly, we have to go all the way back to the very beginning and then back into the middle. And so remember, as we go to read Revelation 22, remember the garden, remember the very beginning. Remember what God was doing at the beginning, how He created all things, how He set up the garden perfectly for Adam and Eve to dwell in and to walk with Him in that garden. But then also, I'll read to you, before we get into Revelation chapter 22, briefly from the end of Daniel, from Daniel chapter 12. Daniel is the apocalyptic revelation of the Old Testament. Daniel sees these visions of the end time, things that aren't fulfilled yet show up in Daniel's book, things that will be fulfilled at the end of time when the things that happen in Revelation will be fulfilled. What Daniel sees is largely what John sees as well. There's quite a bit of overlap in their visions, but look how Daniel ends before we turn to see how John ends the Revelation. Daniel ends in Daniel chapter 12, verse 8, by saying, "I heard, but I did not understand, so I asked, 'My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?' And He replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the end of time. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. As for you, go on your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise and receive your allotted inheritance.'" Thus Daniel's vision ends. Daniel says, I don't know what it means. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. He was just told before this and mentioned here what he was supposed to do. The final vision that he saw was seal it up. He wasn't supposed to write it down at all. He said it wasn't going to happen until the very end, and so he was to seal it up and not tell anyone else what he saw. And he says, what does it all mean? His response that he gets is, go on your way, Daniel. Continue on as you are doing. Many will be purified, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. And the last word to Daniel is, as for you, go on your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. The word to Daniel was simply, continue on. At some point, you will go to die, but you will rise at the end to your inheritance. This is the message that Daniel receives. Now, let's go with the garden in mind, with the end of Daniel in mind, where he is instructed to seal up the scroll, and that this is not coming soon, but it will come someday. With those things in mind, let's read the final chapter in Scripture, Revelation chapter 22. Pray with me. We'll read it. Father God, may the reading of Your Word and the hearing of Your Word be worship to You. Put Your Spirit on us to teach us something new about Yourself so that we can worship You better. This I pray in Your name. Amen. Chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will no longer be night. There will be no need of light of the lamp or of the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent His angel to show His servant the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. If anyone takes a word away from this scroll or prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. That's how it ends. You'll notice first this garden image that we have at the beginning of 22. In fact, the title of that passage is Eden Restored. You see the tree of life. It's there. It's on both sides of the river, sort of everywhere, all present, producing a crop every month. This is more to say, it never runs out of fruit. It never misses a harvest season. There's never not something for the people of God to have from the tree of life. It is always there. Verse 3, there will no longer be any curse. This is specifically talking about the curse of sin and death. It's done away with. You recall at the beginning there were two trees. It's a tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve were to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were to eat of the tree of life only. Here, there's no curse any longer. There's just the tree of life here to be eaten from and to be enjoyed by the saints forever. You know, also Daniel. Daniel saw something. He saw a vision of what was to come, perhaps some of these exact same things. And he was supposed to seal this up because it wasn't coming soon. So his purpose was to seal it up because some were going to be saved and some were not. And he was to simply go on living his life, die, and know that someday he would rise again and have his reward. The circumstance is different here. The angel specifically says to John, do not seal this one up. Instead, open this one up for everyone to see, so that they can come. Isn't it a joy that the very last words of Scripture are an invitation to come and be a part of God's kingdom? I mean, again and again, throughout these last few chapters, there's been this invitation to come. Look here, we have at the end, I'm coming soon, a reward with me for each person. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. This invitation, as simple as that, let the one who is thirsty come and take this free gift. Oh, what a joy that this is the way Scripture ends. Several things we need to do tonight because of what this passage teaches us. First, heed the words of this book. That's the call here. Verse 7, look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. Said another way, blessed is the one who takes heed of the words that are written here in this scroll. As for us, we will be, we must be as a church, the ones who take heed of the words in this book. We don't just look at it every now and again, set it aside. We don't simply look at it to speculate and to think how cool certain things might be. But we would be ones who take heed that our actions matter. What we do matters. The decision to follow Christ or the decision to continue on in sin has eternal repercussions. Congregation, let's be the kind of people who take heed of everything that was in this book. Not a part of it, but all of it. You'll see, speaking of not a part of it, all of it, this warning here at the end for anyone who's planning to take some things out, adding or subtracting. You might say, this is simply for the book of Revelation. It's not. It is for all Scripture. There's an establishment of a new canon going on. Talking about all of Scripture, adding things to it or subtracting things from it. Some people have trouble periodically. Some Christians struggle over the canonization of Scripture, what books made it in, what writings from the time did not make the cut, how it took a couple hundred years for everyone to get all together on one page about this. You shouldn't allow it to cause you doubt. God was working the entire time and has worked the entire time. I mean, the same Holy Spirit who inspired these people to write, who brought about the words perfectly from the writer in each situation across all of Scripture, is the same one who put it all together, preserved it rightly down through the generations for us. This is our trust in the perfection, the inerrancy of Scripture. This is our trust in what God has given to us, that He Himself, even here in John, writing down what He's heard in Revelation, knows that this will be an end of all this scriptural, biblical revelation as we have it, and that there should not be any adding or subtracting to it. Adding or subtracting to Scripture gets you an entirely different religion. This produces Christianity. If you add things to it or subtract things from it, you get something else entirely. This is the trouble with Mormonism, the cult, that adds a whole other book of Scripture that they can say things like, well, the prophet said this, but it's been corrected over here in this. No. There was no need for correction. This was perfect the way it was. There are those who have subtracted from it, like Jehovah's Witnesses, who subtract the deity of Christ from here, change certain translation and wording pieces to remove the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God from Scripture. No, don't do that either. You arrive at an entirely different place. This works much like being a Pharisee. There have been plenty of people who have added to Scripture, just like Pharisees. Jesus calls out the Pharisees for adding additional burdens onto the people that are not required of the Old Testament law. They're not required of the people. They came up with a whole legal system based upon it, but that branched out from it and was derivative of it. And then there's laws derived from those laws and laws derived from those laws, and it became an unbearable burden. We are not to add or subtract to it. Simply because you think something shouldn't be right, shouldn't be tolerated, or you think a certain application is exactly how Scripture should be read, you can't add that as biblical inerrancy to say how people should cut their hair, to discuss things about style and dress, or men shaving their beards or not. There's not something in Scripture here regarding that. If anything, keep it. But this is also why, because of this very passage, this adding and subtracting portion, this is why I'm cautious, as we go about doing sermons the way we do it, not to have gone too much past what Scripture says. Frequently you'll hear in small groups when we're doing Bible studies, especially like our men's Bible study, when the men gather together and we're talking through 1 Samuel, someone will say, well, I've heard this, or I think this means this, or because we're talking about 1 Samuel, we talked about the Ark of the Covenant. Where is it now? What happened to the thing? I've heard this and I've heard this, which are fine and that's okay. I have to make a point. We need to make a point to understand where revelation ends and speculation begins and not add anything to what is actually here and the purpose of the passage because of imagination, because of a fantasy, or because of even a systematic theology that tries to connect the dots that Scripture doesn't connect. This is the trouble with all systematic theology and all theological systems. Scripture doesn't connect all the dots at all the times. And so you have these systems that try to say, well, this must be this and this must be that. And then suddenly you've tried to connect dots that Scripture left unconnected. You will do fine, Christian, to neither add nor subtract from this book, but to take it exactly how it is, complete and faithful, to take it exactly how it is, preserved and kept perfect by God for you, so that you could know who He is and how to follow Him rightly. The next thing we see in this passage is the call to come. And look how this call to come is given. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is that now? The Holy Spirit, out in the world, working in the lives of people. You might remember this when you first heard the gospel and it affected you powerfully. Perhaps you were one like me, who had heard the gospel plenty of times, who had been around church for quite some time, but there was a time when the Spirit moved just so, and you heard it powerfully for the first time. The Spirit saying, come, and you came to Christ. In what context does that Spirit work? In what context does that Spirit cry out, come? In the context of the bride. It is the Spirit and the bride. And who's the bride? It's the church. It is from the church. So what you have here as a declaration is that in the world today, all around, the Spirit is going out saying, come, calling people to come and drink from the river of life. And you have the church all over the place, the bride of Christ out there saying, come and drink from the river of life. And what do you do if you are the person who heard from the Spirit, who heard from a member of the congregation that they were to come? What do you do? And let the one who hears say, come. There is no position in Christianity for the person who heard and does not themselves go out and say, come. There's no time or place for it. Yeah, I'm gifted in other ways. You are gifted in other ways. We are all gifted in different ways, and some are gifted evangelists. I'm not one of them, and I always kind of wish I could have been or were, and yet I'm not. There are some who are the church has been blessed with evangelists. There are people who are gifted in that way out there in the world. That doesn't keep us from being a part of the task. That doesn't mean we don't have a hand in also crying out everyone who hears saying, come. It just means we have some who are absolutely blessed and gifted at it. But we are not held accountable for the gifts we don't have. We're held accountable for the gifts that we do have. The gift that we do have is salvation, access, free gift access to the water of life. And so everyone who hears must say, come as well. We are stewards of this call, that we hear it and that we send it on, speaking to everyone who is thirsty, come and take this free gift, drinking of the water of life. What do you do when you're John? I mean, and you've seen all this, poor John. This is the second time in this book he started to worship this angel who's come before him. And the angel said, knock it off. You know, no, I'm just a fellow servant of God. Worship God, the angel says. I mean, what are you doing here, John? This is wild, and this is exhausting, and this is beautiful and exciting. What else can you say at the conclusion of this vision? John, who began this vision in the Spirit on the Lord's day, who presumably is still on the Lord's day, that perhaps more time than that has passed that he's been seeing this. What do you do at the end of this? What's the proper response to this entire revelation? It is to say with John, yes, Lord, come soon. The proper response in the end of this, verse 20. He who testifies all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. John's response, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. There is no other response other than to say, yes, Lord, come and do it. The final point for this sermon, the final point from Scripture to you Christians who gather together and await the day of the Lord is that we are to hasten the day of the Lord. It's an old saying which is to mean we are to be the one saying, yes, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Be in prayer regularly for this. Be in hope regularly for this. Because this is the end of what is written in Scripture. But what has been written about are things that have not happened yet. had not happened when John had written this and have not happened yet now. So we say together, come soon, Lord. Set everything right. Come soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The last point that I have from this sermon, from this series, from this scripture is, congregation, hasten Christ's return. Let's do that now. Father God, come soon. Jesus, Lord, come soon and set all things right. We are a people who are looking forward to a coming kingdom. We live here and now in the world as refugees amongst the nations, but our citizenship is in your kingdom, and we look forward to a day when you bring it on in full, a day when there's no longer any curse, there's no longer any death, where you wipe away tears, where we inhabit your kingdom, and your kingdom stretches across all creation from beginning to end rightly. Father God, know that even now the Spirit and the Bride are out in the world amongst the nations crying out, come. And Father, we who have heard and have come to you, we will endeavor ourselves to likewise go out into the nations and say, come. Father God, come soon. Fulfill our hopes. As I pray in your name, amen.